Imagine if you had the task, and it would be a difficult one, but imagine if you had the task of trying to explain to first century people what life is like in the 21st century. Things that we take for granted every day, the internet. How could you possibly explain the internet to first century people? They would have no idea. Or television. How could you explain the concept of television to first century people? Or air flight, or running water with a faucet, you know, in our, there's so many things that just are commonplace to us. We understand very well, but to try to explain that to somebody in the first century would be next to impossible. But you know what? That's true in reverse as well. For first century people to try to explain to 21st century people some things, it would also be difficult for them. And one of the things that would be difficult for them to explain to our culture today is the uniqueness of the church. That the church is not made up of all kinds of denominations. Pick the one that you like. We come into a town today. I started to say, just ran through my mind. If you open the Yellow Pages, who opens the Yellow Pages anymore? That is, nobody even knows what the Yellow Pages are anymore. But let's say you got online and looked at a town and tried to look at churches, and you're going to see church of every stripe, every name. They're just a long list of them. And if you may drive into that community, having not investigated, and you'll see a church on this corner, and a church on that corner, and a church over the way, and just, that's all we know of Christianity in the 21st century, is everybody has their flavor of church. But that's not the way it was in the first century. And what I'd like for us to do this morning is to simply ask the question, and well, here's what people, because of our context, because we live in a society in which all we know of is denominationalism. You pick a church that you like and a brand of Christianity that you want to practice. Because of that, the Church of Christ is viewed by many people as just another denomination. And I want to ask the question of whether or not that's so this morning. And so let's talk about that this morning. Let me tell you a few things about the Church of Christ. The first thing is that Churches of Christ are not a denomination. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that people won't accuse us of being a denomination, and we will have detractors that say, you're no different than anybody else. I understand that. There have always been detractors. I remember when the Apostle Paul went to Philippi in Acts chapter 16, and he was accused and thrown in prison for this. He was accused of stirring up the people and causing a great big fuss. He was exceedingly troubling the city. And then they said, he's teaching customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to observe. Well, he wasn't, but that didn't stop them from saying that. So God's people, and you can turn over just one more chapter in chapter 17, and you have two more false accusations made against God's people that just simply weren't true, but that didn't stop the accusation from being made. So there are people from the outside that may say, you know, that's not true. You are a denomination. However, just this past week, and the reason I wanted to preach this morning, I listened to two preachers, gospel preachers, discuss how that the church was founded in about 1810 by men like Barton W. Stone and Alexander Campbell and Thomas Campbell. And they said that that's what we owe our roots to. We were originated in the early 1800s. It's just simply not true. In fact, I have a quote that I'd like to share with you. I'm going to read a little bit more than that quote actually says. I hope you can read it. But Alexander Campbell, who had a lot to do with restoring the New Testament church, what he did in the 1800s, there was a great awakening in the minds of people. And there were people who were dissatisfied with creeds and various religious bodies tacking on different things that you can't read about in Scripture. And Campbell was one of those men that said, can we not just go back to the Bible? Can we not just go back and do what the Bible says and just be Christians and forget about all the distinctions that make up denominations? Get rid of it. Just go to the Bible. And that's what Campbell was about. But people accused him 200 years ago of creating a denomination. On one occasion, Campbell was traveling to New Orleans, and he saw in a local newspaper, the Commercial Bulletin in New Orleans, there was a write-up about him, and it said that he founded the Churches of Christ. And so Campbell wrote a response to that paper and asked them to run a retraction in their newspaper, and here's in part what Campbell said. You have done me, gentlemen, too much honor in saying that I am the founder of the denomination, of the denomination, quite numerous and respectable in many portions of the West, technically known as Christians, but more commonly as Campbellites. I have always repudiated all human heads and human names for the people of the Lord, and shall feel very thankful if you will correct the erroneous impression which your article may have made in representing me as the founder of a religious denomination. Alexander Campbell said, I didn't start any church. You may put that on me, but I'm telling you, it's absolutely not the case. I didn't start a church. And what Campbell was trying to do was, again, just simply to get people to leave the sects, the divisions, and just be Christians only. Now, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 24 and verse 14. I want you to see something in that passage that I think is rather important. In Acts 24 and verse 14, the apostle Paul was confronted with something very similar to what Alexander Campbell was confronted with in the 1800s. You see, there was a newspaper in New Orleans that said, hey, you have started your own religion. And Campbell denied it and said, no, I haven't. I don't agree with that at all. But here's what they said of the Apostle Paul. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Do you see what just happened there? Paul said, oh, yeah, I've been accused of a lot of things. There are people saying that I am just a sect, that I'm just a division of Judaism, that I've just made up my own religion here. But he said, that is not true at all. I hold to everything that the law and the prophets have taught. You see, even the Apostle Paul was accused of just being a sect, a little division of the religious world. And Paul said, I beg to differ. I'm just simply being a child of God. And I don't want to be a part of any religion. Or man-made religion. There's an interesting parable that Jesus gave in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15, Jesus gave that parable of the sower. Well, actually, he gave that parable a little earlier in the chapter, but in Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15, he explains what he meant by that parable. And he begins, and the parable goes, there was a sower who went forth to sow, and he sowed some seed on, good ground. He sowed some seed on the wayside. He sowed some seed that took root and that got choked out by thorns. And he gives different soils and tells about what happened to the seed that was sown. And you might have been saying, well, what are you talking about, Jesus? So Jesus says, well, let me explain it now, beginning in verse 11. He said, this parable that I just told you, the seed is the word of God. And you sow this seed in the hearts of men, and some hearts are hard, and it will not penetrate, and it will not grow. And some hearts are soft, and some hearts are soft, but they get carried away because the world tugs them back, and they fall back into the world. And he describes that. But the important thing that I want you to see is that Jesus said, the word of God is the seed. You know, there is a seed that was found in Masada. Masada is just south of Jerusalem. It was a city that was up on a mountain. Herod actually had a little palace there, Herod the Great, that he had created in the side of that mountain. And up on top, they withstood the Romans during that invasion for a long time until the Romans built a causeway up to the top of that, and their soldiers marched up there, and they all had committed suicide rather than to surrender to Rome. But in Masada, they found seeds that were stored, and these seeds are 2,000 years old. And they took those seeds and they planted it, and a palm tree came forth. The seed was still alive. They planted a seed that was a seed of a palm tree, and they planted it 2,000 years later, and a palm tree came forth. Do we not understand that principle? If you plant a seed, then whatever that seed is going to come forth from that seed. If I had, sometimes, you know, we get to carrying away, you know, talking about all the different types of seeds, and then you say, if I had an oak seed, well, oak, that would be an acorn, right? But you take a pumpkin seed and you plant that seed, you know what you're going to get is a pumpkin. And whatever seed that you may have, if you plant it, and it doesn't matter how far in the future you plant that seed, the same thing is going to be reproduced. And that's what Campbell was trying to teach. Let's just go by the seed, the word of God, and what you'll have in the 21st century or in his 19th century, you'll have the word of God. You'll have Christians. And they won't be anything else. And that's what he was trying to call men and women back to. He was not a founder of a religion. He believed in the principle of planting the word of God only in the hearts of men and letting that root or take root. And what you would have are simply Christians, not a certain brand of Christian, not a kind of Christian. You would just be a Christian. And that was what he was calling people to do. Campbell, Stone, and others were just trying to awaken the minds of people and the hearts of people to rid themselves of the baggage of sectarianism, of divisive divisions within people who say they believe in Jesus. I've used this illustration many times, and you'll hear it again, I guess. But let's say your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother made an awesome loaf of bread. Nobody made it quite as good as she did. And through the generations, grandma's recipe is handed down, but with each generation, somebody tweaks just a little bit. Just a little bit. And they keep tweaking it generation after generation. And now, you know, I have grandma's bread, but really I don't have anything akin to what grandma made because it's been tweaked through the ages. But what if I found in, you know, a chest in the attic, my great, 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 whatever, grandma's recipe, handwritten recipe. And I go back and I make it according to that, then what would I have? I'd have grandma's bread. Even though it hadn't been around in generations, I wouldn't have another sect or another kind of or version of grandma's bread. I would have grandma's bread. And that's what churches of Christ are calling people to do. We're not a denomination. We're not just trying to be another division that you get to pick from and be that kind of Christian. We're calling people to just go back to the Bible and the Bible only and just be Christians. In 2 Kings chapter 22, the priest Hilkiah. This was during a rough period of time in the history of Judah, and they had lost the book of the law. Can you imagine that? The Bible. They had lost their Bible, and one day it was found by Hilkiah the priest, and they, of all places, they found it in the temple. Again, that makes me scratch my head too. Maybe it was hidden to keep it from being destroyed. But imagine if nobody had Bibles and a church didn't have a Bible, you would think that if you could go anywhere, it would be in the church. The temple, nobody could find the Bible, but there it was. Hilkiah uncovers it and he begins to read the book of the law. And the king repents and begins to put into practice what they learned from God's word as it was read to them. That's all Campbell was trying to do. He was doing exactly what Hilkiah did when he found the book of the law. He just said, let's go back to the Bible and do what it said. We've gone without it. And we've done things that we shouldn't be doing, and we've left off things that we should be doing. Let's go back now. We have the Word of God, and let's just do what it says. That's what our plea is. It's an non-pre-denominational plea. I don't want to be another sect in a divided religious world or a part of one. What we're trying to call people is get rid of the sectarianism. Get rid of the things that cause you to sit on different corners of the same city and keep you divided. And just go back to the Bible and do those things. And we can be united if we do that. So the Church of Christ is not a denomination. Secondly, it goes a step deeper than that. The Church of Christ, Churches of Christ opposes. They oppose denominations. And why do we oppose them? Because of what Jesus taught. If you want to open your Bibles to John chapter 17, it's an entire chapter of a prayer that Jesus prayed. It has 26 verses. It's the longest prayer I know of that Jesus ever prayed. And he has three sections to his prayer. He begins by praying for himself, because he's going to have to die, and he asked for God's strength and that he might glorify God in his death. And then he begins to pray for his disciples, those hand-selected men who traveled with him, and all the things that they were going to face. And he asked God to be with them. And then beginning in verse 20, he starts praying for you, for me. Listen to what he says. I do not pray for these alone, these disciples, the ones that he hand-selected in the first century, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And that's us. I come to believe in Jesus because of what the apostles, his disciples, told about him in the first century. So this is a prayer that Jesus prayed specifically for me and for you. And here's what he prayed, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world might believe that you sent me. Jesus prayed that his followers would be united. not divided on every corner in town, believing different things, teaching different things, to the point that they can't even get together and be together. Jesus didn't want that. He prayed that that would not happen. And yet here we are today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul had been informed that the church of Corinth had begun to get sectarian. They were following after different men. I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I'm of Christ, I'm of Apollos. They all had their favorite preacher, and they were dividing after them. It sounds a lot like today. You can pick any brand of people who say they are followers of Jesus, but they go by different brands. That's what was happening in the first century. And Paul said, these things ought not be so. Did these men die for you? Were you baptized into their name? Then why are you following them? Just get back to the Word of God and simply be Christians. You can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 25 as well, where the Apostle Paul talked about that there should be no schism or division in the body of Christ. And yet that's what exists in the 21st century. That's all we know of religion in the 21st century. That's why I started the way I did. For a first century person to try to describe the church to a 21st century person, they have no concept. All they know is churches on every corner believing and teaching different things. And the first century Christian is saying, no, it was just one body. We all just followed the Word of God, and we didn't have different rules and regulations that we've tacked on. That's why. Consequently, we are against denominationalism. We want people to leave denominationalism, because it's against the will of Christ, what he prayed for. It stands against what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it keeps the body of Christ divided. What we're calling for is for people to leave the sects, the divisions, the denominations, and just go back to the Bible and just practice what it teaches. The Church of Christ, what are we? Well, we're simply Christians. That's all we are. We're people who have decided to go back to the Bible. We are people who are convinced by the same message that Peter preached. If you could advance it one slide, please. We are people who are convinced by the preaching that Peter taught in Acts chapter 2. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. I believe that too, to this day. I believe those people in the first century took the Son of God and they put him on a cross and they crucified him. And I'm just as guilty as they are, because I have sinned against the God of heaven as well. So what am I today? I am just like them, and I believe the message of Peter, and I do what he told them to do. Peter said, as they asked him, interrupted him, they said, men and brethren, what are we going to do? You're right. We have killed the Son of God. What do we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe that too. And if we've done that, you know what I am today? I'm the same thing they were, with no denomination involved in it. I'm just merely a Christian. In Acts chapter 2, they who gladly received his word were baptized, verse 37, and the Lord added to them daily such as were being saved. And he's still doing the same thing. If you're willing to believe the message that Peter preached that day, that Jesus was the Son of God and that we have sinned against him, and if you're willing to repent and be baptized, the Lord will add you to his church, not a denomination, not a brand, just the church. And you'll be saved. the Lord is the one who does the adding. So here's what we are. We're a group of people who have been saved by the blood of Jesus. We're trying to call people out of the world and to become a member of His church, wherein is salvation and who are those who are saved. We're also trying to call people out of sectarianism, out of denominationalism, because that's not what God wants either. He doesn't want people in the world who refuse to acknowledge Him, but He doesn't want people who say, "I acknowledge Him," but cannot be united with each other. He doesn't want that either. And so what we are as churches of Christ are simply a people who have obeyed what the first century Christians have done. We've cut through the centuries and said, let's just go by the Bible. And if I see something in God's word that we're not doing, then we need to start doing it. And if I see something that we're doing that is not in God's word, we need to stop and just be the church of the Bible. Otherwise, that's what causes division. Because somebody says, well, I'm not going to do that. That's not in the Bible. Well, I don't think it's that big of a deal. Well, and then there's division because one wants it and somebody else won't. What if we just said, let's be content with God's word. Let's just go back to it and practice it. And if we will believe what they believed and do what they did, we will be what they were, Christians and Christians only. I find it a really attractive appeal to be able to rid yourself of denominational baggage, creeds and beliefs that you have to support as a part of that religious body, that you can't read anything in the Bible about those things. And just to be able to shed yourself of all these man-made tack-ons through the centuries and to just be Christians only. When I say the Church of Christ, I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm using that expression as a description. We are churches of Christ. We belong to Him. We don't align ourselves with any sect, any denominational body. We're just churches of Him, of Christ, of God. That's what I mean by that expression. And if you desire that kind of simplicity to your walk with God, I would encourage you to obey the gospel. Here's what Peter said: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you believe that Jesus died because of your sins and you want forgiveness, that's what you need to do. That's not what our denomination teaches. That comes straight from the Word of God. And that's all we'll ask you to do, is what the Bible teaches. If you haven't done that, we'll assist you in that this morning. And if you're a child of God and unfaithful and you need to repent, again, the Bible says to repent and pray that God will forgive you, and He'll be faithful and just to do that. If you're a child of God and you haven't been living right, confess it, acknowledge it, and say, I want to do better, and God will forgive you. And if you're here this morning and you just have needs, the burdens of life weigh on you, and you would like for us to pray for you, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.